have three children in the Vancouver school system. Two of them are identical twin boys in grade two. One of them is receiving learning assistance, and the other one is in a social and behavioral development class. We are not a wealthy Westside family, though our children are going to school on the West Side in this special program, Social and Behavioral Development Skills. And it wasn't an option. It's luckily this program was available. And I think it needs to be known that there are children from all over the school who are all over the city who are attending this school, and it's just one of them, one of the programs. We have a social and behavioral, a youth and family worker in the class, and a teacher who's specially trained to deal with children with these problems. I'm not sure what would have happened to my family, to my son in particular, without the assistance of this special class. This class stands to lose the youth and family worker and have cutbacks to the program with the regular school cutbacks. It's also a community school which provides other support to families. And again, it's a Westside school, but it's not filled with rich Westside families. And I think we need to look at cutbacks that are being made all over the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Renita Fernandez, a parent at Queen Alexandra Elementary. We have already been given notice that our family advancement worker's position has been cut from the budget by March 31st. She is a very valuable resource for us. She is translator, counselor, mediator, arbitrator, organizer, babysitter, advocate, all rolled into one. And she is our bridge between these Asian cultures and Canada's. Much is excellent, and they are excellent. And well-meaning our teachers and administrators are at Queen Alexandra. These languages are, she speaks two of them, Chinese and Vietnamese. As good as Greek to them, they do not have the expertise in the language nor in the culture. We will be losing this valuable service, and many of our children will fall through the cracks. If the inner city schools funding is cut, we stand to lose a lot. Our children will lose. With these cuts, they will be stealing from our children, stealing from the mouths of our children. They will be sending many of them to failure, to destruction, depriving them of the opportunity to succeed and become useful and accomplished citizens who could make this nation greater. Instead, they will, some of them, be sentenced to inevitable deaths because they could not fit in to the norms that have been set by our society. Would they rather then be taking glory and publicity from another death in the community? Or would they leave their conscience free from the guilt of having taken that money out of the mouths of our children and reveling in the successful citizens that they will have become? Because what it all comes down to is this: our children are our hope, our future, our shining beacon in the distance. Many of us will already be contributing to this great nation as compost by the time some of these children will be sitting where you and I are right now. But you know, this brighter tomorrow, this hope for the future, this shining beacon in the distance will be dim, hopeless, and aimless if the government scrimps and saves at the expense of our children's education now.
My name is David Chinnasi. I'm a teacher, and I live I live just down Fraser Street at close to 22nd. I want to talk just for a second about the context in which these cuts take place. And I think it's very important for us to think about that context. We live in one of the richest cities, in one of the richest countries in the history of the world. There's never been a society as wealthy as the one in which we live. And that's the context in which these cuts are being made. We're being told that there are no choices. There is no choice. But politics is about choices. And Mr. Campbell's government is choosing to take food out of the mouths of hungry children. That's a choice that they make. It's an unacceptable choice, and it's a choice for which they have to take responsibility. I think our responsibility in response is to talk about this issue everywhere we are, in our communities, in our workplaces, with our friends, with our families, at the soccer field, in the hockey arena, everywhere we go. And our message should be absolutely simple. It should be that the government does not have the right to make political choices that result in Vancouver children being hungry. Thanks.
My name is Jackie. I am also from Queen Alexandra School, and this is a letter that a grade 7 student in my class wrote. I am writing on behalf of all students affected by the cut of family advisement workers. I am sure you are aware, but I would like to remind you that we need these workers to help us with our family situations. Of course, we have teachers that could help us, but that is not their job. We need someone who can focus on our problem and have complete knowledge of what we do. I will now give you examples of people who need family advisement workers. I am sure you already know this also, but I think you need to be reminded again. My friend Tracy has moved from China to Canada. She does not know enough English to ask for help. She needs someone she can speak to in Chinese. These family advisement workers at our school have helped her ever since she came here, but what will happen afterwards? Who will be there to help her? I know many people in my school with learning disabilities who need extra help being understood, and I've noticed that the family advisement worker has been able to understand them better than other staff. What will happen if family advisement workers aren't there to help? Who will understand the children? A lot of my friends have family problems, domestic violence, parents with mental or physical problems, or addictions, and my friends need special help because they basically don't have parents. Some people can just be language difference. For example, my friend Tammy is Vietnamese, but she doesn't understand it very well because she was born and raised in Vancouver. Her mother doesn't understand English well because she moved here not so long ago. They cannot communicate well, but with the help of a family advisement worker, they can still be close, even with their difficulties. Back to another family problem, though. The children in these families don't have any reliable people to depend on, so they miss out on things like family outings and such. With the family advisement workers around, they can push the family to be together and do things together so that the family can be a family. Some of my friends' families are living in poverty. They need help to get resources like lawyers, income assistance, ESL programs, housing, etc. These are only some of the reasons that we need family advisement workers at our school. Please take this into consideration. Thank you.
My name is Shane Simpson. I'm a parent of a child at Hastings School. Our school is an inner city school. It's a very large school. It's a community school. It's an inner city school. It's a French immersion school. And it's a very successful school. It's a school that is successful largely because of the commitment of the educators and the parents working together in cooperation. They've succeeded in building a culture of respect and of building self-confidence and of accomplishment among the kids at that school, and it's a very diverse population of children. I'm very afraid that if these cuts happen, that culture will unravel. And our school has identified, at our school alone, 100 kids who are at risk, who are vulnerable and in some way are at risk, and who receive additional services through inner city programs. Those kids will be in much greater risk if these programs unfold and unravel as may if this funding's cut. The Premier, in his throne speech, told us that education was his first priority. Yet what we know is that since 2001, when they were elected, in real dollars, the per student funding has been reduced by about $300 a kid in our schools. We're getting $300 less per child in real dollars for every kid in our school. That's the priority that we're looking at right now. As David said, who spoke before here, government is about choices, and this government has choices to make, and we can help force them to change the choices they've made. People in communities succeeded in changing the choice they made over privatizing highways in the Coquihalla. They changed the choices over welfare cuts. We can change the choices over cuts to inner city schools just as well. And I would hope that that's what we'll do. The last comment I would make, and I guess it's a suggestion to the organizing folks for the No Cuts to Kids, is I think it's time for us to challenge the business community in this city. It's time for us to say to the Vancouver Board of Trade, to the BC Business Council, to the BC Chamber of Commerce, if you're serious about building a prosperous, positive future for this province, how can you not stand up and say that the province has to make a commitment to kids? We have to demand of those business leaders who tell us that they're also community leaders to stand up as well and show us where they are on this. They have been deathly silent on this question, and we can't allow them to do that because it is their friends who are sitting in those offices in Victoria who are making these choices. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The focus today has been on cuts to inner city programs, but as a teacher who's worked on the west side of Vancouver for the last 6 years, I can attest to hidden pockets of poverty on the west side. Families living in basement suites, domestic servants, families living on major transportation corridors. And I think it's important not to polarize the problems facing the school board into an east and west side situation. Increasingly, I see middle-class parents who make great sacrifices to pull their children out of public schools and put them into private schools because they are concerned about the lack of sports, the lack of arts, the huge class sizes, the lack of teacher librarians, the lack of learning assistance. And every time one of those families pull their children out, the percentage of children with truly serious needs goes up, and we end up with the lowest common denominator sinking further, which sets into place a spiral, which in my most pessimistic times I can see leading to an American or a British system where public schools are only the place for people who can't afford any better. And I don't want that to happen in Canada.
Thank you.